All right, Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. Great to have you here. Welcome to Johnston Chapel for our Christmas cantata. We're looking forward to celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, together this morning. So it's going to be a great time, a great program for you today. I'd like to start by reading from Galatians 4, where Paul writes this: "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir." So again, this is just going to be a wonderful time of celebrating the birth of Christ this morning. And it's great to have any guests that are with us this morning. Thank you for visiting Johnston Chapel. We'd like to connect with you personally, and how we do that is through our visitor card in the back of the pew. So if you take a moment and get that card and complete it, and then as that offering plate comes by in a moment, you can put it in there. But we do have a gift for you back at our Welcome Center. So if you'd like to receive a gift, you can take that visitor card to the back, deliver it there, and we'd love to give you that gift. But it's an honor and privilege to have you in our service this morning. And I also want to give you a heads up about our Tuesday night Christmas Eve candlelight service. That'll take place at 6 o'clock. We're going to have some time of singing carols together, time of reading Scripture, hear a little devotional, and then we'll take communion, remembering that Christ actually came to die for our sins, to rescue His people from their sins. So focusing on communion and then a time with the candlelight. We're going to keep it short. So I understand you have your family traditions, but maybe 6 to 6:45, we'll kind of focus our hearts in on Jesus, and then we can go on home as family. So I encourage you to come on out for the Christmas Eve service on Tuesday night. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our service this morning. Father, thank You for the Christmas season. Help us always to keep our focus where it belongs, on Christ, the One who came to rescue us from our sins. We thank You for Your grace and love demonstrated in Christ, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank You for that free gift that You offer to each and every one of us this morning. And that's what we're celebrating. We're here to celebrate Your grace and Your love and Your gift of Jesus to us. We want You to get all the glory. This isn't about musicians. This is about nothing else except You and Your glory and Christ who came to rescue us. So help us to keep the focus where it belongs. Help us all to worship together in spirit and in truth from our hearts. And as we give this morning, help us to do so joyfully and gratefully, knowing that all comes from You. And we want to use these gifts for You and the disciple-making mission in the world. So please bless the giver and bless the gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing along with it. Thank you. Thank you. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
Journey following the Lord, where God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He makes. But when the our questions have no answers, turn to Him.
Trust the heart of the Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see.
the angels had left them, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds kept their watching, or silence lost by night. All throughout the heavens, they're shown a hope.
How the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
What a great time of worship together this morning. And I want to take a moment and just say thank you to Daniel for all his time and effort he's put in to pull together a very unique Christmas cantata this morning. Also want to say thank you to our singers, our musicians, those in the back doing the sound and media. Just a huge thank you to everyone. Let's give them all a hand. I think certainly the Lord's name has been honored this morning and we've worshiped together. I'd like to take just a few brief minutes here and share with you from God's Word about the true meaning of Christmas. And I've received probably hundreds of gifts through the years, like most of you seated out here today. And as I think back through those gifts I've received, there's so many that I don't even remember. And then the ones that I do remember, those really cool gifts, well, those are long gone now. I think about maybe you're excited about getting an iPhone 11 for Christmas. Guess what? You'll upgrade in a couple of years, right? Or maybe you're thinking about that new pair of shoes. Eventually, those shoes are going to wear out. They're just going to get torn up. You may be a gamer and you want that PlayStation or the Xbox. You'll get tired of playing it eventually. Maybe you're getting a car for Christmas. I don't know, maybe you're that lucky one. But you're getting this car for Christmas. Eventually, that car is going to rust. Eventually, that car is going to break down mechanically. And I think back about 20 years ago, I received a gift that can never wear out. It's a gift that I will never grow tired of. In fact, as I've gone through my life, I've grown to appreciate that gift more and more and more. And that's the gift of God's grace, forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I think Christmas really reveals to us the true meaning of grace. And Paul describes to us that infinitely valuable gift of God's grace in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. He writes this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." Really, that verse could be summed up like this. The rich became poor so that the poor might become rich. Now, I'd like to break that down and talk about those two pieces. First, the rich became poor. Jesus is incomparably rich. He is the eternal and self-existent Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made." Jesus spoke the universe into existence by His infinitely powerful Word. He is the ruler and owner of everything and everybody. Yet the rich became poor. That speaks of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. So though He was incomparably rich, Jesus became incomparably poor. It was love that motivated Him to take on human form. And this was an infinite condescension. Jesus, fully God, and at the same time, fully man. Jesus descends from a throne to a manger and then to the cross. The Bible says this, "Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." So, Jesus came to die. But why did the perfect, sinless Son of God have to die? I think it's found, the truth to that. The answer is found in the second part of our statement. Yes, the rich became poor so that the poor might become rich. You know, we're the poor. All of us are spiritually bankrupt. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "The wages of sin, the fitting paycheck for sin is death, eternal punishment in a place called the lake of fire." But I love the end of that verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God is holy. He is righteous. He is just. And every sin is an assault. Every sin is an offense against His holy nature, because He is holy and He is righteous. And for that reason, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. He absorbed the wrath of God there on the cross. Jesus absorbed it, and after He had paid our sins in full, He rose again triumphantly over sin, death, and the grave. It's such a beautiful thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus did what we could not do for ourselves. He was perfect for us, and He went to the cross as our substitute. The Bible says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." There is absolutely nothing you can do to earn God's favor. Grace is God's unmerited favor toward a sinner who deserves wrath. Salvation is offered freely, but it came at a huge cost, an incredible cost. It cost the death of God's one and only Son. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So the rich the poor become rich in Christ. When we admit our sinful state, we stand before God and say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And then we turn away from that sin and we turn to Jesus Christ in faith, trusting fully in His finished work on the cross for us. I wonder, have you received that gift of eternal life that will never spoil, that gift that will never, ever fade? If you don't know Christ this morning, if you're not in Christ, as the Bible says, I encourage you, speak with someone. Talk with someone who brought you here today. Speak with a church member here this morning. Speak with one of us. We'd love to show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you have eternal life. What better day than today, celebrating the birth of Christ, to receive that perfect gift that God gave us in His Son. And I think about us being eternally rich in Christ. God has given us eternal life. He's given us eternal forgiveness, eternal joy and comfort and peace and hope. He's given us eternal glory in His Son. We are infinitely rich in Jesus. And I find it interesting that our verse here this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, is in the context of sacrificial giving in the church. So this Christmas season, as we ponder that, as we ponder the infinite riches, the spiritual riches, the blessings that we have in Christ, may we give everything to God. May we give Him even our very lives, because He is worthy. And think of what Christ did for us. He gave His life when we were in desperate need. That's how we're to live our lives, to sacrificially give to others, those around us, to joyfully give to those who are in need this Christmas season. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He was raised again on the third day. It's so simple, but yet so many times in our pride, we just won't humble ourselves. We want to earn Your favor, God. We want to earn our own salvation. I pray that if there's a heart here this morning that has tried everything the world has to offer, even tried their own good works, and they still find themselves empty here this morning, Holy Spirit, move in their heart. Convict them of sin. Draw them to the Savior here this morning. Help them to humbly admit, "I'm a sinner. I'm in need of God's grace." Help that person who brought them here, that other church member, that friend, that family member, to wrap their arms around them and show them what it means to know Christ personally as Savior. Father, I pray for us, Your children, that we grasp the true significance of Christmas. That Jesus came to die. That infinite love, that grace, that Jesus would come to die for me and for everyone here. Thank You for that, Father. Help us to give out of hearts of gratefulness. Give out of hearts full of joy to You and to those around us. Help us to keep Christ in the center of all things. We love You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing one last song together as a church body. Oh, come all you faithful. God bless you all and Merry Christmas.